Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAG for short, a housing group for older people run by older people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
That's right, you're listening to Raise the Roof, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show here on 3CR 855 AM. My name is Shane. I'm here with Fiona. How are you doing, Fiona?
Hey, Shane.
We'd like to thank everyone who donated to our radiothon. Our personal radiothon, the 3CR radiothon. Thanks for supporting the show and the station. And what are we going to hear this month?
We're going to go straight into an interview with the crew from Open Place who are talking about Forgotten Australians. We are joined in the studio today with Richard and Mary Kath from Open Place Australia. How are you guys both going today?
Yeah, great, thank you.
Great, thanks, Fiona.
I might get you to start firstly with you, Richard, introducing yourself and perhaps a little bit about Open Place.
My name's Richard Dove and I'm the community coordinator. I'm the coordinator of community education, let me get that right. And to explain what Open Place is and what they do is we are a support service for Forgotten Australians.
Okay.
Forgotten Australians are the adults who as children lived in child institutions or spent time in child institutions before the year of 1990 or out of home care.
Okay, great. Yeah. And what about yourself, Mary Kath? What's your role at Open Place?
I'm the senior redress worker at Open Place. So I support people to do national redress scheme that's been out since 2018 and finishes next year. And I also support people to do the Victorian redress scheme, which came out 18 months ago and that finishes in December.
Okay, we might get you to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But before we get into too much details, would you be able to tell us a little bit about, I guess, the cohort that the term Forgotten Australians encompasses? We're talking about people that are older now, like I'm guessing in their 60s, 70s and 80s, which is why we're interested as an organisation that works with older people. So people that grew up in childhood institutions, but I imagine there's a few different types of people or experiences that people sort of fall under that category. Could you explain a little bit more what Forgotten Australians are, Richard?
Yeah, sure. Forgotten Australians, because it's prior to 1990, I think the youngest Forgotten Australian at the moment is around about 39.
Okay.
And the median is around about 65, but we have quite a few who come into our drop-in service who are in their 50s. And yes, as you mentioned, that the average age is 65. Quite a few are at that stage where they're going into aged care, and also housing becomes a big issue for them.
Yeah.
And there's different categories. When you say different categories, we take it back to the 2004 Senate inquiry. The Federal Senate inquiry did an inquiry into what they called Forgotten Australians, and it was at that time that the term Forgotten Australian was first used.
Yeah.
And so there were three categories that actually came within that term Forgotten Australian. One was the forced child migrants from England and Malta, predominantly England, Britain. And then the second term was stolen generation. And then the third term was the generic term Forgotten Australian. So the first group, there were about 10,000 of the stolen generation. There were about 50,000, and of Forgotten Australians, there were approximately at least 440,000 Forgotten Australians. And so they're the three terms that are used to describe Forgotten Australians. But as it's worked out in reality, the Child Migrants Trusts look after a lot of the forced child migrants. And so they tend not to use the term forgotten Australian.
Mm-hmm.
The Stolen Generation have organisations that support them, but they still come under the term forgotten Australian and can get support from our organisation, but mostly tend to get support from organisations that are Aboriginal Torres Strait First
mm-hmm.
Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 440,000, which was your mostly, what's the term that you would use? So Australian-born, mostly Anglo-Celtic background, forgotten Australians.
And they were kids that were growing up in institutions like orphanages when they were young. That was the kind of defining feature for those people.
Yeah, it tends to lean towards institutionalisation, but people who were put into foster homes and that as well also come into the term forgotten Australian.
Yeah.
But yes, it does tend to lead towards institutionalisation, but we also shouldn't ever forget that the children who were fostered also actually come under the term forgotten Australian and are also entitled to the same benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some of the common experiences? Are you able to speak to those? Like, I think people, I suppose there's 440,000 individuals and each of them would have a different experience, I'm assuming. But what are some of the common things that people who are working with people who have had this experience in their childhood, what should they be aware of and what are some of the things that I guess people don't generally know about?
What people generally most likely don't know about is that there's been a number of inquiries.
Yeah.
Of those who are interviewed in the long-term outcome of Forgotten Australian studies done by University of New South Wales, there's about 98.3% said that they were abused in some fashion, whether that be emotional, physical or sexual.
Wow.
So the greater portion actually report having abuse within the institution, and many of them actually say that just being in an institution was abuse in itself. And
yeah.
So we at Open Place have contact with Forgotten Australians on a daily basis. In all our teams, we do. And so there's some things that are generally the same across the board when it comes to Forgotten Australians in terms of the issues they face. So they have a loss of identity. Within an institution, a lot of the times they were given a number instead of a name, and so they lost their sense of identity. There was rigidity in life, there were not a lot of extracurricular activities, and so a lot of life was very, very routine, very rigid, almost military-like in a lot of places, and there was little connections with family, and a lot report that there was little love. There was, you know, no one to actually give them a hug. So you have a loss of identity, family connection in the institutions. There was reported a lot of telling children that they were unwanted. There were cases of not being able to have contact with their family and their families not being able to have contact with them. And so, yeah, some of the work that we do at Open Place is making those connections now.
Finding people's families.
Finding people.
Yeah.
We have a service called Find and Connect, and that's our records crew, a team, and they spend time getting hold of those records from the institutions and also trying to find out where their families are, who their family are. In some cases, we do family reunions. So another issue was illiteracy. When you've got severe trauma, it in itself causes issues to the brain, which causes learning issues. The brain develops in a way that makes it difficult especially with some of the chemicals that are running through the brain, to be able to sit in a classroom, be able to learn. And so many came out of institutions unable to read and write, and or knowing little about reading and writing, not all, but quite a few. So many had poor work and life opportunities, difficult relationships. Complex PTSD is something that's not understood by a lot of people. You have PTSD and then you have complex PTSD, which these days they call CPTSD. So, you know, encourage anyone listening at the moment to look that up and try to understand what that is. It's different to PTSD. It's lifelong. It doesn't come and go. And often medication doesn't help too much either. It gets locked on. So, yeah, as I said, changes in brain structure, mental health, harmful drug use, suicide, homelessness, incarceration, chronic medical and dental issues. So, so a lot have come out with poor teeth, poor health, and then of course you've got the issues of CPTSD also causes a lot of bodily issues within a person as well. Trauma in itself can cause issues. So the number one issue is massive trauma. So coming out with massive trauma, and that's lifelong, and then that can be generational as well, passed on to children.
Yeah. And so Forgotten Australians are one of the groups that have been identified in the Aged Care Act as requiring, I guess, a special understanding from aged care providers. And as a homelessness service, our Home at Last service, we don't collect statistics or information. We collect a lot of demographic data on other, I guess, intersecting things that might affect people's housing and homelessness, including things like their gender and sexuality and their culturally, linguistically diverse backgrounds and all of those sorts of things. But we don't ask questions about people's experiences in, potentially in institutions as a child. But I can imagine that that would have a really big effect on their willingness to engage with services and asking for help, and particularly with aged care often being run by the same kind of organisations that ran the orphanages. So what does that mean for, I guess, the people that you work with, but also what should services know about the people that you work with?
Yeah, I mean, what you've mentioned there is really complex, isn't it?
Yeah.
So to answer that, I will let you know that I went around Victoria and I spoke to quite a number of Forgotten Australians over a period of time. As part of doing a consultation. So I spoke to nearly 200, would have been more than 200, but officially 200.
Across the whole of Victoria.
Across the whole of Victoria, in regional, rural and within metropolitan, and asked them a number of questions about what do they want Victorians to know about them, and what work do they want me to do in order to get the word out there together with them. And one of the things, the number one thing that they said they wanted across the board was for all Victorians to know who the Forgotten Australians are. They kind of feel that people don't know. The second thing that they asked for was that that when they attend a service that they can be asked or that they can have a box to tick. They call it the tick box.
Yep.
Can we have a tick box like everybody else has a tick box? And they say we were broken too. A lot of them say we were stolen too. We were taken from our families. And we'd like to identify. Extending that to aged care facilities, I encourage any aged care facility to consider asking people. Of course, if you ask a person, are you a Forgotten Australian, a lot of people don't know what that is. It's still a relatively unknown term. Hopefully today a lot more people will know. So to ask, you would just ask very simply, did you spend time in a child institution or out of home care prior to 1990, and it's really as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's not a difficult question to ask, and it's not too difficult to put on a form, but it will go a long way to identifying whether somebody spent time in an institution. And the reason why you do that is because that person is carrying a lot of trauma, and if it's not understood, they can have all kinds of behaviours that organisations and services won't understand. It will be confusing to them and re-traumatising for the forgotten Australian. Mm. So just knowing that that person is a forgotten Australian, especially in aged care. Another part of that consultation revealed that aged care is something that forgotten Australians are extremely frightened of.
Mm.
They feel that it's re-institutionalisation. And even just the thought of it can trigger a forgotten Australian, even considering going back into aged care. So, yeah, these are all issues that need to be reckoned with within the aged care industry.
And better understood.
I just want to mention one other thing that, you mentioned the Australian government's aged care reforms.
Mm.
And one of those things are that aged care facilities can now, they can apply to receive specialisation verification in forgotten Australians. And there's two in Victoria at the moment, Wintringham and Uniting Aged Well. And we work closely with them, and so they've applied to be forgotten Australian specialists, and yeah, we encourage a lot more aged care facilities to start considering it so that they can be responding to the needs of forgotten Australians.
For sure. Now, Mary Kath, you're responsible for the redress schemes, I guess, or understanding the redress schemes. Did they, for listeners, can you explain how they came about? Did they come out of a Royal Commission, or was there another process?
One of the recommendations from the Royal Commission was that that people who want to seek redress can do that through support with Open Place. So we have a team that work with people who want to do the National Redress Scheme, which that come out in 2018, and that finishes in 2028. But they close off applications next year in June.
Okay. And is this the Royal Commission into childhood
institutional sexual abuse? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the National Redress Scheme is to support people that were sexually abused in these institutions as children before 1990.
Yeah.
That's who we work with, the cohort, Forgotten Australians. So we support them. So even in intake, when people start with Open Place, we offer what supports we can offer, and one of them is redress. So they're referred to the team, and we would give them a call, and we would have a chat, and just talk about eligibility of their time in care, and then we can support them to do the application from the start to the finish. We do outreach, or we can do it over the phone, and we meet with them. And we, it's quite difficult for people to do these applications. So it's done in a timely manner. We try to be as trauma informed as possible and work with the Forgotten Australian as to how they are, whether we meet them once a week or once a month or however long it takes, because some of these people have never ever disclosed this abuse before, and they can be 80 years old.
Yeah.
So we can sometimes, we're often the first person that they disclose this to. So we support them right through. We can be their nominee, and so we liaise with the National Redress Scheme and support them all the way through. There can be a payment if they're found eligible. There's a payment of up to $150,000. There's also counselling sessions, 20 counselling sessions, and also they can get an apology from the institution if they would like.
Wow.
That can happen. We can support them with all that. We support them right up to the end of the application, which at present it's taking a long time, but the scheme's supposed to finish next year, so hopefully they'll get a lot of them done. We've got till June next year for anybody to put an application in.
So anybody listening that this might affect, or they may know someone that this might affect, you better get in contact before June next year.
They'd need to get in contact in the next couple of months. We do have a wait list. It's quite long at the moment, but we're happy to support people to, maybe fill out their application themselves, and then we support them with the information that they've given. But also we've got the Victorian Redress Scheme. So that's another recommendation. The Victorian government brought that out about 18 months ago. That actually finishes in December this year. And this is for people that were in Victorian institutions before 1990 and suffered physical, psychological or neglect.
Okay.
The Victorian one is for non-sexual abuse, sexual abuse.
So it's a bit broader.
So there were some people that were in these homes and weren't necessarily sexually abused, and the government said, well, if you're eligible, so you need to have been under 18 and in an institution for longer than 6 months, and you could apply for the Victorian Redress. And if you are found eligible, there's a payment of $20,000, 20 counselling sessions, and also an apology, as long as you haven't had a previous payment before applying to this one.
Okay. You're listening to Raise the Roof on 855 3CR, and we're joined by Richard and Mary Kath from Open Place, and we're talking about the Forgotten Australians. So going back to the redress scheme for a moment, it sounds as though the burden of proof is a bit onerous. Is that correct? Or is it more just the forms?
If we talk about the Victorian redress, it can be onerous. That's why we support people to do it right from the start. We can also be their nominee with the Victorian redress or their support worker. And a lot of those, the Victorian redress ones, we do over the phone, and we fill out their application, and we need to get two lots of ID for the government. And then they send it off, and we are liaising with the government all the time with these applications and keeping on top of it to make sure these people are supported all the way through.
Yeah.
But the National Redress Scheme, there's no proof that these things happened with these children back in the day. It's reasonably likely that it happened, and they have their ways of working out these things. I mean, the government know that this happened, it's that's why they funded it. They know these things happened in these institutions back there. So, but we support them with everything they need to do. We support them with what information they've got to give, the detail, we support them with the whole lot.
Yeah. So finally, would you maybe, Richard, be able to tell us a bit more about Open Place and what people can, if people are one of the Forgotten Australians and they haven't reached out before, or even if they're an organisation that wants to better understand this group of people, can you tell us a little bit about how people can get in contact with Open Place and the sorts of services that you provide aside from the redress scheme and the family reunions, which you've already mentioned?
Okay, sure. So if anybody out there knows somebody who fits the criteria of a Forgotten Australian prior to 1990, they spent more than 6 months in a child institution or out of home care, contact Open Place. I would recommend actually having a look on the internet first, Google Open Place, and look to see what services we provide and get a good understanding of what it is that we do. Getting support from Open Place is really, really easy. It only takes a phone call. If you call up Open Place, you can be registered straight over the phone. And then, of course, there's a process to find out if you spent time in care because that actually has to be worked out first. And once there's confirmation that you did spend time in care, then you get offered all the services. But in the meantime, while you're waiting to get that confirmed, you are still eligible for Find and Connect. And so Find and Connect can actually start looking for your records, and which can be quite challenging. Every part of redress and looking for your records and all those things can be quite challenging for the person who's taking part in it. But the thing is, once you've registered with Open Place and you've applied to have confirmation of your time in care, you don't have to take up any of these services. It can be just that you're looking for recognition that it happened. It's up to you. That person, can make that decision. So we've got a drop-in group. So that's 3 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. And Friday is our big cook-up day. And so most come in on the Friday, but we still have people coming in on Tuesday and Thursday. And there's a lot of other Forgotten Australians there. And so a lot of Forgotten Australians say that Forgotten Australians are the only people that they've really connected with in all their life. Mm. And so reconnecting can be extremely powerful. So they come in and do that. And then we also have our social support groups around the state. So we have 13 of them in a variety of areas, from Geelong, Warrnambool, Dandenong, Bendigo, Sale, right around Victoria. And so you get offered to join one of those groups. You can get health support. We receive funding from the government to provide up to $1,250 a year to people who have had their time confirmed in care. And all that's really required is to provide the receipts, or, you know, provide the documents to actually have something paid. And, you know, some wait the whole year and, to get podiatry or teeth done or something or other. So it's not a huge amount, but it's enough to contribute in some way. As Mary Kath mentioned, Forgotten Australians are offered up to 20 counselling sessions a year. So that's every year. There's a couple of methods in which that's paid, but that's not important. All it's important to know is that if you're a confirmed Forgotten Australian, you can have a counselling session almost every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. Which is great. It's community education, which is me. It's my role to get the word out in the world about Forgotten Australians across Victoria to try and get better outcomes for them. And as I said, the record search and family reunion. So there's that side of things too. So there's quite a bit. So once you register, you get offered all of these services and you can decide. We also have a lot of resources to give you. You get a card to say, I am a Forgotten Australian, so you can use it within services.
Yeah.
We have flyers developed so you can identify when you go into a place to get the best outcomes for yourself. And then we also have a really important section called the what are they called now, Mary Kath? There's something in advocacy. It's only just changed in the last week. They were the coordinated support team, but it's client work. And so a Forgotten Australian can ring up and get support with basically anything. So often that is housing support, or it can be support with anything. You've had a car accident, you're going to be evicted, anything. And we do have some funds available to assist and support. So it's really about, service and navigation.
There you go.
Service, navigation and advocacy.
Excellent. Well, so, we're really out of time, so I'm going to put all of those details on how to get in contact with Open Place in the show notes.
Great.
And we have to leave it there. Thanks so much for coming in, Richard and Mary Kath.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Fiona. No worries. Very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is all we have time for today. I'm going to go out now with a song, and that song is called Rachel.
Rachel, what's the matter with you, girl?
What's the matter with you?